Track 13, Facilitating Healing. As you know, people who have been severely traumatized often have difficulty maintaining attention and concentration. Capturing the essence of the intrusive phase or post-traumatic stress disorder cognitive dysfunction refers to intrusive thoughts, flashbacks, nightmares, and unwanted images that may be so vivid they seem to be occurring in the present. Mary was continually tormented by such intrusive, unwanted cognitions. She was unable to work or carry on a social life. Barbara Knoll writes, "I was a wreck. As each day and night went on, I couldn't shake the pictures in my mind. I barely slept. Just when I'd find a comfortable place in my pillow, I'd sit up again, recall the events of the sexual encounter with my therapist." I refer to the third or final phase of therapy as recollection. The client's shame lessens or eliminates altogether their energy and initiative. Mary stated, "I can't get over it." The goal I find is to assist the client to regain his or her assertiveness, self-esteem, self-respect, and self-control. Once this has started to occur, at some level, survivors are more ready to move out into the world and reconnect with others. This may mean renewing or repairing relationships, increasing intimacy with loved ones, making new friends, or getting involved with other survivors. Survivors often look back on their helplessness and powerlessness in the abusive situation and are proud of the courage, strength, and adaptability that enabled them to escape and then transcend their abuse. However, there are some obstacles to the process of healing, as you are aware. They can involve the survivor's own issues with shame, embarrassment, and self-blame. Lack of support by the victim's family, as described initially with Mary. Lack of community support for the victim, as described earlier with mental health professionals themselves. And even silencing. After her abuse, Mary felt consumed by guilt and shame. She withdrew from relationships and believed that the people she dated viewed her as withdrawn and secretive. She initially could not confide in friends or colleagues, as she felt the information would be used against her. Subsequent therapists did not believe that she had been abused. Mary found that finding a healthcare professional who believed her and wanted to help her in a way that would be best for her to be an extremely difficult task. She saw 6 therapists, ranging from 1 to about a dozen visits, before our session began. With 1 male therapist, she thought she might be victimized again. 2 therapists, she felt, did not seem to believe her. 3 did not want to get involved, which varied from mild disinterest to outright rejection. Thus, Mary's attempts at lodging complaints were met with resistance and procrastination. Another obstacle Mary experienced, common to abuse victims, is she minimized it. At first, knowing that others have suffered worse than her is what she would state to herself. In the later phases, she let it develop a life of its own by letting the abuse affect current work and personal relationships. Other abuse victims I've worked with describe similar experiences, commonly going through a long period when they submerge all or most of their feelings and thoughts about the abuse. Then, related to stresses or life changes, they found themselves suddenly bombarded by a variety of symptoms, including severe anxiety, guilt, shame, panic attacks, nightmares, depression, plummeting self-esteem, various physical symptoms, poor concentration, and feelings of alienation. Others have experienced more immediate effects developing during the abuse or shortly after termination. Others experience more immediate effects developing during the abuse or shortly after termination. Severe depression, eating disorders, alcoholism, and drug abuse, as you know, are among the problems suffered. Mary described severe depression and alcoholism. She began to lose weight during the time that she was being sexually exploited by her therapist. During this period, her career was irreparably damaged. Looking back over that extremely painful time, she states, "Everything was out of control. I couldn't concentrate, couldn't sleep, couldn't think, and couldn't plan. My emotions were all over the place. I was divorced, my career was shattered. It seemed like the only thing I could control was my eating." Mary went through a period when she felt that some of her treatment had been helpful, and in the end viewed the relationship with the mental health professional as destructive, even though some of it had been helpful. She stated, "I really think he saw my vulnerability and took advantage of it. I felt like an object." Mary went through a period when she felt that some of her treatment had been helpful, but in the end viewed the relationship with the mental health professional as destructive. She stated, "I really think he saw my vulnerability and took advantage of it. I felt like an object." As you know, for many abuse survivors, their abusive experience sets into motion a series of terrible losses or traumatic events. These include loss of employment or destruction of a career, marital breakup, deterioration in relationships with children, disastrous remarriages or abusive relationships, financial problems, poverty, loss of home or other accommodations, and loss of physical or mental health. Some, as you know, end up being hospitalized. Younger abuse victims feel they have lost their innocence or youth. Some feel that impaired trust has sabotaged their ability to enter into intimate relationships and have consequently deprived them of the opportunities of their childhood. The way I like to explain this effect to clients is the way as a rock is dropped into a pond causes ever-widening concentric ripples. This is the same of an abusive episode and the effect that it can have on every aspect of the survivor's lifestyle, relationships, health, and well-being. In the case of clients whom I have seen who have been abused by therapists, since the immediate stress has been removed when the client leaves the abusive therapist, some strategies I've used are the following. I've used catharsis, cognitive restructuring, and behavioral contracting. Which ones do you use? Question 13. What are the three phases of healing for the survivor of abuse?